Welcome to Living the Good Life, a broadcast of Beacon of Hope Ministries, Dunedin, Florida, and around the globe. Join us today as we talk about real life, real truth, real purpose, and how to be living the good life. To begin our talk, here is Pastor Marcia McAllister.
Praise God. Welcome, everybody. This is a great day. We are live today in the studio in Clearwater, Florida. Actually, we're live every Sunday at this time, and we're so glad you have joined us. We've got a great topic today. In the studio with me is Connie Farmer. How are you, Connie?
Good.
One of our regulars here on Living the Good Life, and Nathan Burton. How are you, Nathan?
I'm doing just fabulous.
Don't you guys love that voice? Isn't that cool?
Yes.
Yes. Wow. All right. Today we're going to talk about how do you love the difficult people in your life? Of course, none of you out there on the air today have ever had any difficult people in your life, right? Life has always been easy, smooth. Everybody's always treated you great. You've always treated everybody else great. And life is just easy, right? You've never had any difficult people. I venture to bet that some of you would dare say today, yeah, I have had a few difficult people in my life. We're going to talk about what have you tried, Connie and Nathan. I'm going to throw this first question at you. They love it when I throw these questions at them. In fact, their eyes get huge and they start thinking about, oh, what do I say? What have you tried that doesn't seem to work very well for you when you handle the difficult people in your life? Because we know there are some of those. For all of you sitting out there, we hope you join in today. You might go ahead and grab your Bible and a notebook and a pen, because I'm going to be teaching in a little while, and there's some great principles and some great verses we want to look at. So you might go ahead and do that. And tell a friend about Living the Good Life, because our radio broadcast is spreading to a lot of people. We are not only on the radio station, but several of you, many of you, are probably listening to us today via the web, and that is www.tantalk1340.com. Great reception. You might want to try that. So we're excited that you've joined us today, and we are going to get right into our discussion in just a moment. Come right back.
Beacon of Hope is a place designed with you in mind. That means we don't expect you to look or act a certain way. We want you to feel comfortable and infected each week through great music, authentic community, and relevant teaching. Sunday morning dress is casual and the coffee is always hot. Beacon of Hope welcomes all people, all origins, backgrounds, lifestyles, and circumstances. You'll meet people just like you. Beacon of Hope is located at 1812 Main Street, Dunedin, Florida. Check us out on the web at www.beaconofhopeministries.com. Come and experience with us at Compass Wednesday evenings at 7 and every Sunday morning, now beginning at 11. Find the true direction and meaning you've been looking for in your life.
Praise God. I love that song. Welcome back. This is Pastor Marcia McAllister talking to you today from Beacon of Hope Ministries we're actually in Dunedin, Florida. The radio station's in Clearwater where we come and have the shows. I have Connie with me today and Nathan. It's going to be a great day, guys. Are you glad to be here today?
Yes.
Excited about sharing? Mm-hmm. So, come on. I'm putting you on the spot. What are some of the things you have tried in your life for handling difficult people that maybe just rubbed you the wrong way or just gave you all kinds of grief? Have there been any things you've ever tried, Connie? Any ideas here? Maybe a couple.
Avoiding them.
Avoiding them. Avoiding the people? Mm-hmm. Avoiding the situations?
Mm-hmm.
How many of you out there in the listening audience, I don't see that hand, but you can agree with us, probably have tried avoidance quite a bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
If you yell at them, it doesn't really do a whole lot of good.
If you yell at them, it doesn't really do a whole lot of good.
You try to get them to hear what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
Doesn't work?
They're not hearing it.
Difficult people don't like to be yelled at?
No.
Okay.
I don't like to be
yelled at. Nobody likes to be yelled at?
Okay.
That's
right.
All right. So yelling, avoiding. How about some other ideas, Nathan?
Oh, dear. You know, like pouting or
pouting. Know. Yeah, pouting works well, doesn't it?
It doesn't work at all.
Holding out to get your own way.
Holding out, yeah. Trying to get your own way, you know, demanding your own way.
Yes.
You know, crying.
Crying a lot, you know. Yeah.
Ignoring.
Yeah.
You know, cold shoulder, you know. That kind of thing. Just
some people do a lot of the crying thing and think that they can move a difficult person to their idea or their way of thinking by pouting and crying and whatever. Of course, a few of us have lived a while on this earth. I'm really just talking about Connie here. I mean, and
I was just thinking we're some of the older people from the church here today.
No,
we are. We've been around the barn for a while.
We're some of the more mature.
more mature people, right?
I wish I was mature.
So we've tried some of these things. Would y'all agree?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
How well do they work?
Not at all. They really don't.
They might for a short time, maybe sometimes.
A second or something.
Maybe the first time you do it, they work.
Yeah.
But then after that, you know, But then after that, it's just they just label it as one of your tricks, one of your things that you're just trying to get them to agree with you or do what you wanted them to do, and it makes them angry.
Yeah.
You know, and that just doesn't work.
Right.
Well, it's like if somebody cuts you off in traffic.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know. Nowadays, you might get shot at.
Right, you got to be
careful. So you have to choose your battles.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
but there's a lot of difficult people in our lives that just maybe say things that just absolutely get to you and you don't know how to respond. And today's show is going to bring you hope because we have some concrete ideas and some things that are straight from the Word of God on how to handle the difficult people and difficult situations in our lives that we all encounter. How many of you have ever found yourself shutting down to difficult people? Yes. Do you do that?
Yes.
Why? Why do we do that?
I think sometimes it's a learned response because you've tried all the other tactics, so I'll just shut up and
And it's a defensive tactic, you know, trying to defend ourselves because we really don't want to get our feelings hurt or we really don't want to have to suffer the anger of the other person or anything like that. And other things that can happen, you know, that are negative responses to something else. So we just kind of shut down and, you know, ignore the problem maybe or... You know, just say, well, okay, we'll just stuff it.
Well, I think shutdown is a manipulative
tool.
Well, also.
But they all are.
Right.
They all are.
That's
forms
a good
of
point.
Manipulation.
Right.
When you think about
trying
it.
Trying to get people to.
Because you're trying to get them to move from one particular point of view to your point of view.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so a lot of times we do try all these different things, and sometimes we're not even aware we're going to try those things. I mean, we don't wake up in the morning and say, today when so-and-so treats me like this, I'm going to avoid them. A lot of times we don't have conscious thought that we are going to try a new technique. Sometimes we do, though.
Yeah, but actually, no, I think the majority of the time, we don't try to do these things. We have not planned these things. It's a form of manipulation that we have learned through observing someone else. Or we have learned because when we were a baby, we cry and we get this attention.
Oh, that's true.
We get this kind of attention if we do this, if we do that.
Right.
And it's a behavior that hangs on because it gets results.
Right.
And, you know, eventually they don't get the results, but the behavior is already ingrained.
Right.
Yeah, I was just going to say you might have used it on a different partner. And,
Oh, yeah.
And it worked for them.
It worked there.
Right.
But this one, they didn't have it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, difficult people set out a lot of times to get a reaction out of us. Have you ever experienced that?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that one of the reasons they're difficult is because they like conflict. Okay. And one of the things I've been working on for years in my life is trying to overcome the fact that I want everybody to be okay all the time.
Right.
That's that people-pleasing thing where I don't want that conflict. The conflict just really upsets me. I don't want it. And some people see me coming. How many of you know what I'm talking about?
Exactly.
They go, oh, there's a person who wants everything to be okay. So let me just go rattle their cage a little bit and cause them a little distress today. I think a lot of times people who cause trouble are gravitated towards people who want peace.
Yes, I agree with that. And then also, there are people who don't seem to be content unless everyone is stirred up.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Drama.
The D word. It's, yes. Oh, my. I tell you.
And there are people, well, we've often said at church,
yeah,
hurt people. And
absolutely.
So there are people that, and there's another saying that's very common, cliche, misery loves company. And so therefore, if I'm not happy, I don't want you to be happy.
Right.
Please, you know, I want you to be miserable like me and go through it because I'm not feeling good here.
Right.
And you're walking around jovial or something. No, I'm not having it.
Right.
You know, what's it going to take?
I think I agree with all that. And I think a lot of difficult people try to stir the pot, if you will.
Yes.
And make things worse than it really is.
Yes.
Or get a rise out of you, you know, yes, and get you to get to react, you know. It's that drama, need for drama.
That's one thing. But then also there's the people that always minimize everything too.
Okay.
When it's really important to you, and then they kind of minimize it too. That also brings out a frustration or a, you know, thing. That's another form of manipulation.
Right.
It's like, everything's okay. Don't even worry about it. Don't, you know, you're making a big deal out of this, and it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So, yeah.
Oh, this is all interesting stuff. I think we have a lot to talk about today, guys. Mm-hmm. That kind of sets the tone, doesn't it, out there, listening audience? We are, one of the answers to handling difficult people is a very obvious answer, and it's called prayer. And we're going to talk about that today as we talk about these other methods and things we can do to help deal with difficult people. Our first song today is one that you wrote, Nathan, from your CD, it's on our website. Go to www.beaconofhopeministries.com. You can order Nathan's CD there, his praise CD. He's actually been in the studio all week recording his new album on worship. But this one, the title of it is PUSH, P-U-S-H. What's it stand for, Nathan?
Pray until something happens.
Oh, are you saying that's an answer?
Well, that's an answer.
That's an answer to handling difficult people. We're going to talk about that, and we'll be right back. Don't you go anywhere, because this is going to be a great show, and it's going to bless your heart.
Keep on praying. Pray until something happens. Keep on praying and knowing He will answer too. Keep on praying. Pray until something happens. Don't give up. Don't give in. We already know in the end we win. So keep on praying. Pray until something happens. Keep on praying. Pray until something happens. Keep on praying and knowing He will answer too. Keep on praying. Pray until something happens. Don't give up, don't give in. We already know in the end we win. So keep on praying. Pray until something happens.
Don't give up.
Don't give up. Don't give in. We already know in the end we win. So keep on praying. Pray until something happens.
Don't give up.
Don't give up. Don't give in. We already know in the end we win. So keep on praying. Pray until something happens.
You're listening to Living the Good Life, a broadcast of Beacon of Hope Ministries on Tantalk 1340.
Praise God. We're glad you're with us today. This is Pastor Marcia McAllister coming to you live from Clearwater, Florida. Beacon of Hope Ministries, Living the Good Life. This is a good day. We're excited. Today we're talking about how do you handle the difficult people in your lives. If you have your Bible there, let's go to Matthew chapter 18. And I believe that God has some very interesting things to say to us and some practical instruction that we can grab hold of today. Now, if you've been listening to Living the Good Life very long, you're going to find that we center everything around God's Word. Yes, we throw in our opinions, but they are based on the Word of God, because Beacon of Hope Ministries is all about teaching the Word of God, the life-giving Word, because that is what's going to change your life. Go with me to Matthew chapter 18, look at verse 12. I'm reading from the Message Bible. Look at it this way. If someone has, these are the words of Jesus, 100 sheep, and one of them wanders off, doesn't he leave the 99 and go after the one? Now, I throw in right here, there are a lot of people that get along great in church. Then there are some people that are just kind of like that wandering sheep, you know, that are out there causing trouble. Jesus says, I go after them. Okay. And if he finds it, doesn't he make far more over it than over the 99 who stay put? Your Father in heaven feels the same way. He doesn't want to lose even one of these simple believers. Isn't that critical right there? God cares. Maybe somebody out there today in our listening audience is going, you know what? I'm a difficult person. I'm who they're talking about today. I always cause trouble. You know what? God says he was running after you. He does not want you in any way to stay in your drama and your chaos. There's good news for you today. Let's look on to the next verse, and it's verse 15 of Matthew chapter 18. If a fellow believer hurts you, there we go. There it is, right here. It's laid out very simply. These are the words of Jesus. Now, has anybody ever hurt you out there, listening audience? Nathan, Connie, has a fellow believer ever hurt you? Absolutely. In all my years of pastoring, I've been hurt many, many times. So let's look at the answer here straight from the mouth of Jesus Christ. If a fellow believer hurts you, here's the next four words. Go and tell him. Oh, my. We're going to have a discussion about that in a minute. Go and tell him. Oh, that seems rather difficult. Let's read on. Work it out between the two of you. Now, I have found through many, many years of being in the ministry, since I was a very young child, that churches are made up of people who love to tell others what somebody did to them, but they rarely have the guts to go straight to the person and tell them what happened and how they felt when that happened. How many of you would agree out with me out there? I can hear millions of you out there right now raising your hand going, yes, Pastor, that's true. I've been in church, and a lot of people don't want to go to church for this very reason. They hate drama. They hate chaos. They hate all this little, this one's over here talking about so-and-so and what they did, and this little group over here is saying, did you hear what so-and-so said to so-and-so? Guys, churches, workplaces, families are made up of this dynamic. We have a hard time going straight to the horse's mouth, so to speak. Don't you think? We have a hard time doing what Jesus says right here. Go and tell him. Work it out between the two of you. This is called communication. It begins with a C. Don't forget that word. We're coming back to it. Work it out between the two of you. If he listens... These are the words of Jesus, Matthew 18, verse 15. If he listens, you've made a friend. Now, I think that's interesting because Jesus was very aware here that a lot of times people will not listen to you. You go and you present your case and you say, the other day when this happened and you said this to me, you know, this is how I felt. I was embarrassed. I mean, when you said this, it hurt me. And a lot of times the person that has done the crazy thing, whatever that was, or the hurtful thing, will look and go, I don't even know what you're talking about. And they do that to avoid having to face the music of what they've done to hurt you. And I think it takes a big person to stand up and say, you felt what? Oh, okay, let's talk about that. Sit down here with me. I don't want you to feel that way. I want you to be able to tell me. In other words, dear ones, we need to be approachable. If somebody comes to you and says, when you said this and you looked this way at me, it hurt me, you need to be able to take a deep breath, and instead of just going crazy and being defensive, you need to say, let me take a look at this. Scripturally, It says, if he listens, you've made a friend. If he won't listen, take one or two others along so that the presence of witnesses will keep things honest and try again. Uh-oh, Nathan Connie, I hope you're taking notes because we're going to talk about this in a minute. Take one or two witnesses and try again. Third time, if he still won't listen, tell the church. If he won't listen to the church, in other words, go to your pastor, go to your leaders, your elders, whoever, and say, this has happened. We have taken the principles from Matthew 18. I have tried to talk to this person. Then I took a couple other leaders with me, and we tried to talk, but it's not getting anywhere. Third resort here, if he won't listen to the church, you'll have to start over from scratch. Now, this is incredible. You know what this says to me? One of you write this word down so we don't forget it in a minute, because I'm talking and reading my Bible, and that is keep on keeping on. And I hear that in the song we just played of yours, Nathan. Pray until something happens. What Jesus is saying here is don't give up trying to work with difficult people. We just said one of the things we do a lot is we avoid difficult people. And Jesus is saying here, don't give that up. He says, you're going to have to start all over from scratch. Confront him with a need for repentance and offer again God's forgiving love. Oh boy, that is extremely important, wouldn't you say? These are critical things that we need to do. When somebody has offended us, somebody who is difficult, and they have created chaos, and they are just going about their merry way like nothing ever happened, we aren't expected to just ignore it. Go with me to Matthew chapter 5 a moment and verse 23. So go back in your Bible, just a few chapters here. Matthew 5, 23. Okay? Want to point out something else here to you. And again, these are the words of Jesus. So I think these might be rather significant. I think these are extremely significant. And that's what we do here on Living the Good Life. We give you the words that God is saying to help us handle these difficult times in our lives. If you just tuned in, we are talking about how do you handle difficult people in your life. And we just read from Matthew 18 that you go to them and you try to talk to them and communicate and straighten it out. Let's go to Matthew 5:23. This is what Jesus said. This is how I want you to conduct yourself in these matters. Okay? Oh, I meant to read the line right before this verse. Matthew 5, at the end of verse 22. In the Message Bible, there's just a few words to a sentence, and it says this. The simple moral fact is that words kill. Oh, this is critical. We are handling difficult situations in our lives, and sometimes things are said that are so hurtful that they actually kill our spirit. They kill our emotions. They try to rob us of our joy and our peace. Words can kill. If you're out there today and you go, you know what? That's me. I got a real toxic mouth. Well, then I would say today that you need some mouthwash from God's word. You need to really look at these principles. If you're one of these that is always the victim of somebody's caustic words, then take these words to heart. Matthew 5, 23. This is how I want you to conduct yourself in these matters. Now, this is Jesus talking. If you enter your place of worship and you're about to make an offering and you suddenly remember a grudge a friend has against you, abandon your offering, leave immediately, go to this friend and make things right. You say, wait a minute, I'm coming to church, I got on my pretty outfit, I'm looking so cool, and I get in there and I'm starting to worship God, and I suddenly remember that Susie Bell has this awful grudge against me. And what are you saying here, Pastor? I'm just reading the Bible, dear one. And it says here in Matthew 5:23, if you suddenly remember that a friend has a grudge against you, abandon your offering, leave immediately, go to this friend, and make things right. Make things right. Where is the responsibility to make things right? It's with us. Then, and only then, come back and work things out with God. Oh my, we'll be right back and talk about all of this.
You're listening WGAN. To Living the Good Life, a broadcast of Beacon of Hope Ministries on Tantalk 1340.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, Wesley Chapel.
Praise God, free for all. I don't know about you, but we started our service at Beacon of Hope this morning with that song, and wow. Yeah. And, you know, a few days ago, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister coming to you live on Living the Good Life. A few days ago, God said to me very, very clearly, tell people that if they're hungry and thirsty for the anointing of God in your life, if you're hungry and thirsty for a fresh word from God, come and get it. We appreciate you tuning in on Sundays, the Sunday afternoons, but come on Sunday morning at 11. Come on Wednesday night. It's incredible what God is doing in the Word. Mm-hmm. Do you agree with that, Connie and Amen. Nathan? Yes. You guys Amen. That are always indeed. There? Indeed. Praise yes, God. The Word, it's powerful, isn't it? Mm. This is some good stuff. This is great,
this
isn't
is hard
it?
Stuff.
This is hard this stuff. Is Why hard is it so hard? We're talking about how do you handle the difficult people in your life?
It's communication. It's so hard. You know, it's amazing to me. We spend intimate times with people, you know, our partners or our family, and especially with our spouse, very intimate times, but yet we don't talk about anything.
Right. And hard to talk.
That kind of relationship cannot ever be very deep.
Communication is absolutely key here. I mean, in these scriptures that Jesus is talking about that we just taught, he's saying, go talk. Yeah. I mean, if you can't remember anything else today, dear one, you got to learn to talk. I've known so many people in many years of ministry who did not talk to their husband, their wife, their spouse, their partner, whatever. They just didn't talk. They just put all that stuff down on the inside. What does stuffing do?
Gives you indigestion for sure.
That's right.
Oh, dear. Well, you know, it's been scientifically and medically proven that the majority of ailments that people mm-hmm. suffer are due to stuffing.
Yes.
Stress. The emotional mm-hmm. stress just makes us susceptible to all kinds of diseases. Right. And so not only that, emotionally, it destroys you. It devastates you. Mm-hmm.
I really agree with that. We started this show talking about how have we all handled difficult people, and I think one of the things we were all agreeing on is a lot of times we avoid them, you know,
yep.
or because they cause anger to well up in us, and we can't deal with it, so we just, we grit our teeth, we bear it, but we go tell somebody else instead yep. of telling that person.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's difficult. It's confrontation, especially in today's society. Really isn't supported very well.
Right.
People, we don't do well in that kind of healthy conflict.
Exactly.
And we don't realize it as healthy. We try to do everything that we can to avoid conflict
right.
or confrontation of any type, simply because it's uncomfortable. It is a place that we really don't like to go. Everybody wants to be happy. Everybody wants to be comfortable.
Right.
And confrontation of any sort is not comfortable.
But can't God use confrontation by causing maybe that person who you go and talk to look at their life and you say, well, now they're just too far gone. They're never looking at anything. They just always rationalize it. Well, maybe so. But how do you know that in the quiet time when they're in the middle of the night and they wake up and they remember your words, that God doesn't use a situation like that?
I remember a long time ago, I used to go to the annual conferences. They were called Success the year, 95,
right.
whatever.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I heard was that our words are seeds.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
And you have to plant them in the appropriate places. And I think that even the most difficult person that you try to communicate with mostly hears mm-hmm. what you're saying. They may not respond or they may want act out on what you say to them, but I think that it gets down in at some
point. Somewhere.
Seeps in some way.
Right.
It seems like it's impossible that it does, but I think that in the darkest times, mm-hmm. in the middle of the night or wherever, those kinds of things, I think God helps us remember those things and helps work on us to soften us and tenderize our hearts. And
I have to agree with you. One of the things we've been talking a lot about at church,
mm-hmm.
and one of the things that we often pray about is planting seeds
planting
of love.
Planting seeds mm-hmm. of love. Amen.
Planting mm-hmm. seeds of love.
Right.
And, I mean, the passages that we just read, but you know, what's happening there
right.
is we're responding with God's love to the situation in obedience.
Now,
to
wait
Jesus
a minute,
direction.
Brother. Are you telling me that it's a loving thing to confront somebody and say, when you did this, I felt really hurt when you said this. It just went all through me. Is that loving?
I believe it is, for the simple reason that when you confront a person concerning an issue about your life, they can demonstrate their love to you mm-hmm. by responding to that,
right.
by addressing that. And also, it gets it off of you. I mean,
right.
rather than stuffing it and eventually having it come out in some other way, where there's resentment or anger.
Right.
Because I know that I used to be the kind of person that had a tendency to keep accounts
right.
with people. Mm-hmm. And I mean, seriously, I mean, I used to
had
remember,
a notebook of all
well,
the offenses
pretty
everybody
much.
Had done to you.
Yes. Uh-huh. You know, and people were given a certain number of times.
Ah,
to,
three to, strikes to, and you're out type
hurt
thing?
Me. Well, I usually gave it more than three.
Okay.
But I mean, it was a number of times before I would boil over
right.
and blow up on them or get rid of them, just be done with them.
Right.
And neither one of those responses have anything to do with the love of God.
Right.
And I honestly do believe that when we're dealing with difficult people, even if they are acting like they're rationalizing it away or are ignoring you, so to speak, but when you speak in true love, and that's the key, too.
It's that's very the difficult key. It's place the attitude, isn't it?
It's a difficult place to get to until you do it, and you keep doing it and keep doing it until all of a sudden it becomes a part of your nature. That you speak to them in love, then you're sowing those seeds of love, and you don't have to see a response. You don't have to see a reaction. You just have to have the faith to believe that the seeds you've sown will take root and mm-hmm. will benefit that person. Jesus always sowed seeds of love in people's lives. And he didn't stand around looking for a result. He expected a result because
right.
he sowed the seeds of love in faith, believing. And I believe that as Christians, as we learn this love walk,
right.
that we need to take that same attitude
right.
that the seeds of love that we are sowing will produce fruit in that person's life,
right.
whether we see it or not.
I don't think we could go wrong by modeling our life after Jesus.
Oh, you don't think that? Okay, no, we agree with that.
Yeah, one of those bracelets, WWJD.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
And I used to get a lot of flack from a couple of people at work because, well, one of them was Jewish, and she always liked to comment on it.
Yeah.
She was, yeah. But, you know, if you can take the time to think about what would Jesus do?
Right.
And, I mean, that's part of how we're supposed to.
But when people are very difficult with us and they pop off and say something offensive and they react and they are angry, our immediate reaction, a lot of us, I mean, because this is human nature,
right.
is to protect ourselves. Right. Would y'all agree?
Yeah.
I mean, we try to protect ourselves and our feelings and we get hurt. We get hurt. And you just said it again, Nathan, and I've written it on the board at Beacon so many times. Hurt people, because that is what happens. When we hurt a lot of times, then we strike out, and then we try to hurt the person who's offending us.
Exactly.
And the problem is that kind of a confrontation never, never, ever grows out into something beautiful. Usually it's just a mess.
And the unfortunate part is when people are hurting, it's very difficult to find resolution.
Yes.
Because in resolution, healing can begin.
Exactly.
But if it's not resolved, no matter what you say or how you try to act, that sore is still there. It may
right.
have a little scab over it, but the very next confrontation, the very next conflict rips that scab off, and all of a sudden you have a bigger infection than what you started out with. And I mean, it becomes like an infection on the inside, the pain.
Haven't you guys ever had a cut on your arm or your hand or your toe or something? A toe, that's a great example. You bump your toe and it's just, maybe it's broken, you know? And then you find yourself always banging into a piece of furniture with that same toe. Mm. And it's because it's like exposed right there, and it just, it seems to find this, the chair leg, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And The same with our emotional selves. We tend to, once we are exposed and hurting and gaping, have these gaping wounds, it's almost like we attract difficult people to come and do it again. Come on, hurt me. It's like we got it on our forehead that says, I am vulnerable to your nasty comments, you know?
Well, and because of that, the misery loves company mm-hmm. situation. And some people, it's kind of warped, you know, but I think it's a fact of our human nature that we think we'll feel better about ourselves if we make someone else feel bad.
Yeah, I don't think we consciously think that, but I think that's true subconsciously. That's a great point.
But that makes me feel worse.
It does, doesn't it?
But I was thinking about what you're saying, Nathan. And at the time, I was thinking, you know, if this difficult person is somebody that we're, you know, involved with some way emotionally or whatever, if we would just take the time to invest in communication.
Yeah.
And just know that if this person is flying off about something, then you've already communicated different feelings during a time where it was okay, you know, everybody was safe to talk. And so you know more about that person and mm-hmm. what makes them fly
right.
off. Maybe it's they're afraid.
Right.
Most of the time people fly off because, and it comes out as anger, but it's actually fear.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's their response. It's their reaction to fear.
Oh, I agree with that. I agree with that. And that happens all the time. Mm-hmm. And when we go back to these passages we just read in Matthew, Jesus says here, now, this is true or false. Tell me if I'm right or not. Jesus says, when people hurt you, then just go off and tell 500 people about
that's
it.
That's false.
Oh, that's false. You guys got the quiz right. It's not about doing that. It's going to that person.
Mm-hmm. And what I really liked about that was that the first step was you go to the person.
By yourself.
Yeah.
No one else is involved. You talk it over with him. And if he listens, then you've won a friend.
That's what it says. You've won mm-hmm. a friend.
And it's like,
wow.
Yeah. And I don't really see Jesus throwing around the term friend very much in the New Testament.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. And
whenever he called someone a friend,
wow.
it was, you know, there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother.
Right.
When you think about that friend, you know, when you go to that person and you're able to talk to them and they are receptive to what you're saying.
Right.
Yeah, they have a deeper connection with you. Suddenly.
Right.
It's like, oh, wow, I really didn't mean to do that.
Right.
I apologize for that. I'm sorry.
So are you saying that honest communication.
Honest communication.
Vulnerable communication mm-hmm. is a building block of close friendship?
I think absolutely. So. And I think one important element about it, too, is not to go with an accusatory. You
right.
know, not blaming. But owning your own pain, owning your own, you know, going to the person saying, well, I don't think you meant to do this, but when this happened, this is how I felt. This is how it affected me. And, you know, I just wanted you to know that.
You just hit on the point I was getting ready to make. And I've learned this many years ago in counseling situations and having counseled for many years myself. And I've taught this concept so much. And if you have a notebook and a pen out there, write this little sentence down. It's very easy. When you said this, fill in the blank, whatever it was, I felt this. Okay? Now, what a lot of times people do is they say, when you said this, you made me get mad.
Right.
Okay. Then that's putting the blame right back on the person instead of owning our own issues there and owning our responsibility. The answer here is when you said this, I felt this. Okay. Write that in your notebook. When you said this, I felt this. Okay. It is not, this is the false answer here. When you said that, it made me do blah, blah, blah. Okay? That's not good. Why is that not good? Well, either one of you. Why is that not good?
No one likes to be blamed for something wrong.
Right.
Okay. Sets up your defenses. Yeah, it's like an attack.
Yeah.
Right.
Very antagonistic.
Right.
Because, you know, You back them into a corner.
You made me do it.
You made me do this. You made me act like this.
You made me.
Why do you always make me do this?
Why do you do this to me and make me do this?
And you're not taking responsibility.
Yes.
No responsibility.
And but you back them into a corner. You back a kitten into a corner, you know, like you're going to attack him. What's going to happen? He's going to come out with the claws and the teeth. They're coming after you.
Right.
And that's
so
basic human nature.
Is it basic human nature that people have a hard time taking responsibility for their actions?
Yes.
I believe it is.
Yes.
I think now as we get saved and as we begin to walk the Christian life, we begin to realize that we are responsible for what comes out of our mouth.
Yes.
Jesus said here in Matthew chapter 5, the simple moral fact is that words kill. Words are dangerous. They can bring life and they can bring death. You can hurt somebody so much that your relationship is really scarred, and then it takes some real communication to heal that relationship. Mm. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
You do?
Indeed.
That's because you guys are old.
Sometimes you can't. Sometimes you can't repair it.
You can't. Sometimes it gets that bad. But in an ideal world, this is the, not just in an ideal world, this is Jesus' answer.
Yes.
He says, go have honest communication. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Go have real communication. Our new ads for our radio show now say, we've got t-shirts, tons of them. If you want one, just go to our website and we can get you one of our radio t-shirts. And it says, real talk, real hope, real people, real life.
Yep.
Guys, that's what we are trying to do here on Living the Good Life, is we are to tell you that these are common everyday things we go through. People say things that hurt us. And then we have to decide how we're going to react to that very thing. Wow.
Choices.
Choices. Choices. And we do have the choices. We do have options. We do have opportunities. We can react or we can respond. And responding is usually the more difficult of the choices.
Right.
There's a new Max Lucado book out.
Yes.
It's called Every Day Deserves a Chance.
Every day deserves a chance.
And what he says in there is that at the beginning of every day, you have the opportunity to make your day what you want it to be.
Right.
And open yourself up to God and say, have your way.
Right. Amen. So every day we can change this in our life.
Absolutely.
If this is a pattern of behavior in your life, you can change it. Stay with us. You're listening to Living the Good Life. We are going to be right back. Get your Bibles. We're now going to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You got 1 minute to find that passage. From these problems that we all have in our lives where we have a hard time dealing with difficult people. This is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look with me at verse 13. Practical Christian living. Here we go. Get along among yourselves. 1 Thessalonians 5:13. Get along among yourselves. Paul doesn't say, hey, just go ahead and fight your battle and be argumentative and be nasty and be antagonistic. No, it says here, get along among yourselves, each of you doing your part. Well, I see two words right there, each of you doing your part. I see personal responsibility. Y'all see those two words right there? Mm-hmm. Each of you doing your part. Our counsel as it is that you warn the freeloaders to get a move on. Now, that's people who aren't serious about their walk with the Lord. Gently encourage the stragglers and reach out for the exhausted. Of course, none of you have ever been around any exhausted brothers or sisters in the body of Christ, have you? I have. I've even been one of those. And we need to reach out for the exhausted, pulling them to their feet. How do you do that? How do you pull people to their feet? You talk to them. You pray with them. You encourage them, okay? And be careful. Be patient. I just skipped a line. Be patient with each person. This is a key right here to handling difficult people. And we're going to come back and talk about that in a moment. Be patient with each person. Attentive to individual needs. See, people do things because of other things. Okay? They act defensively. They act offensively. They act obnoxiously because of other reasons going on. And Paul says here, be attentive to individual needs and be careful that when you get, oh, I love this. Everybody out there, listen to this. If you don't have your Message Bible, you're going to be blown away by this next sentence. And be careful that when you get on each other's nerves. Now, I want to emphasize the word when. Paul does not say, if you ever get on each other's nerves. Does he say if? What's he say? He says, when you get on each other's nerves, you don't snap at each other. Now, that's an interesting word right there, because I think a lot of us do that very thing. It's not if we get on each other's nerves, because the answer is when we get on each other's nerves. Are you going to? Absolutely. You're going to get on your church family's nerves. You're going to get on your biological family's nerves. You're going to get on your partner, your spouse, your husband, your wife, your kids' nerves. You're going to do that. When you get on each other's nerves, you don't snap at each other. That is a command. It's not just a good idea. Don't snap. Okay, why? Look for the best in each other. And always do your best to bring it out. Now, you can't have a successful relationship if you're always beating each other up, whether that is a marriage or a friendship. If you are always beating each other up emotionally, it's not going to work. It's eventually going to come to the point where somebody is fed up. Somebody says, I'm not taking any more of this. I have listened to your mouth for so long. I am over it. Bye. See ya. Have a good life. That is what happens, because human nature can't take that forever. The nagging, the hostility, the getting in your face. Jesus says here through Paul, look for the best in each other and always do your best to bring it out. Now I'm going to look at verse 16. I'm in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If you just joined us, be cheerful no matter what. Be cheerful no matter what. I taught on this morning, 5 principles to living as a house of love. And one of them has to do with celebrating God all day and learning to control your emotions and learning to be cheerful. Somebody gets ugly with you, don't be ugly back. We're going to talk about this in a few minutes, Nathan and Connie. When somebody gets really ugly and is very difficult and they get in your face, we're told here to be cheerful. No matter what. This verse doesn't say, be cheerful, but when one of those antagonistic, difficult people get in your face, then you can just let it fly. You can say whatever you want to say. It doesn't say that. It does not say that. It says this, be cheerful no matter what. Now, the next 4 words in this verse go back to the song we played of yours, Nathan, a little while ago. Pray until something happens. These next 4 verses or words say this, pray all the time. And I'm going to ask the 2 of you in just a moment when you come back on, what does that mean, pray all the time? What's that mean, be cheerful no matter what? What's it mean to handle difficult people? Because I believe, as I was studying for this last week at the end of the broadcast, God said to me, next week we're talking about how to handle difficult people, and I announced it. And somebody said to me in the week, I heard what you're going to talk about. I'm going to listen because I want to know how to handle difficult people. And if you happen to be listening today, one of you people that said that to me, here are clues right here. Be cheerful no matter what. Pray all the time. We're going to talk about how can you pray all the time. Thank God no matter what happens. See, there's sometimes the difficult people in our lives step on us so bad, we can't even feel. We don't even feel like talking to God. We don't feel like praying. We don't feel like thanking God because the difficult person in our life has just beat us up, so to speak, and we're just raw from their verbal abuse. And God says to us here, through the Apostle Paul, thank God no matter what happens. Connie and Nathan, take note of that. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you who belong to Christ Jesus to live. To live. This is the way he wants you to live. Do you belong to Christ Jesus out there today? There may be some of you out there that are listening to our voice right this moment who do not know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. You say, well, all this sounds good, but I don't even know what you're really talking about because I don't know God. And here is my answer to you. You need to know God. You need to accept him into your heart. And you can do that today. You do that by faith. We'll pray with you at the end of the show today. We will pray with you and you can begin your life today knowing God as your personal Savior, Jesus as your Lord, because this is a radical way to live, guys. It's radical to not respond in the nastiness that somebody gives out to you. It's radical to be cheerful no matter what. That's very radical. Sounds to me like you're a little crazy, Pastor Marcia, for even suggesting this, some of you may be saying. Some of you may be going, you've just never met Susie Bell. I don't know why Susie Bell. I've never even known a Susie Bell, and that's the second time today I've called that name. Some of you may be saying, you don't know how difficult it is to live with so-and-so. He's just awful. He's nasty. He's my cross to bear. She's got the worst mouth on her I've ever seen. She doesn't have any regard for my feelings. Some of you may be feeling those very things today. And I would say to you, God knows right where you are and the difficulty you're facing in handling the difficult person or people in your life. Some of you may have had a mother-in-law or somebody close to you where you didn't really have a choice. You had to be nice and kind, and yet that person constantly ragged on you, constantly said things to you and got their dig in, and you knew that that person was trying to just rile you up, get you all upset. We're going to talk about that in our discussion in just a moment, but here's the answer. Are you ready? And it says this: be cheerful no matter what, pray all the time, thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you who belong to Christ Jesus to live. This is not just a suggestion for once in a while. This is a commitment. He wants you to live this way. Praise God. We're going to play a song, Love You So Much. And before we get into our discussion, would you just worship God with us today? Right where you are. Love you so much, God. You can just pour out your love to him as you hear this song and then come right back.
So much. Yes. Oh, we love you.
Praise God. That's the answer right there. Loving him so much. Oh, all of you that are tuned in today, I tell you what, I wish you could have been with us this morning at Beacon of Hope. Power of God fell in our worship, and I tell you, we were just lifted up in that loving God so much. It just, the tears were flowing. People were singing and lifting their hands in praise to God.
Yes, Jesus.
You know, one of the keys to getting along with difficult people is to fall in love with Jesus.
Amen.
You know, it really is. That's right. It's because the more you fall in love with him, you want to please him, and you want to do the things and live the way he wants you to live. A lot of times we have such trouble getting along with people because our attention is all on that person.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You guys have comments here. Nathan and Connie are here with me in the studio. We're glad you've joined us. Pastor Marcia McAllister, Living the Good Life. Let's talk.
Dear me. It is so true, because a relationship with someone, as far as, you know, as a spouse, is very demanding.
Right.
In so many ways.
Right.
I understand Paul's teaching that, you know, he was talking about if you're single, it's better that you remain single, because then your heart will be after the things of God.
Right.
And you won't be distracted from serving the Lord. And if you're in a relationship with someone who is not necessarily in tune to that type of life, someone that's not necessarily wanting to serve the Lord.
Right.
That is a pull. There's a tug.
It can be hard.
There's a real tug
yoked.
In your heart.
Unequally yoked. Needs to be a unity there.
And it just makes you feel stressed and strained.
Exactly.
Because you want to please your Savior, and you want to please your spouse.
Right.
And
so, but it has to start with your love for God.
Yes.
If you have that love for God, and you're spending quality meditating time, you're spending time in the Word, you're going to react better. Your chances of reacting to a difficult person and reacting better, more Christ-like, are there if you've spent time with Him.
I feel like God. What happens, when you're spending the time with God, and you really begin to know His heart about a situation or a circumstance, and especially His heart about people.
Right.
Suddenly, you don't see them the same way that you did without God.
Right.
Because you begin to realize that this soul has so much value to God, because God sent His Son to die for this person.
Amen.
This person that just drives you up a wall. This person that just doesn't seem to make any sense at all, or this person that just doesn't seem to care about what you're going through, or what he puts you through, or she puts you through.
Right.
God loves them so much.
And once you get your attention on that, you can do what this verse says.
Yes,
look for
can.
The best in each other and always do your best to bring it out.
Yes.
Because that is really caring about somebody.
Mm. Well, I think so. You know, we know how to get the right things out of people.
Sure.
We know how to
manipulate and control.
Well, not so much that. I mean, you know, I didn't think of it that way. I was thinking
positively.
You know that if you come across pious or something that you're going to cause somebody to feel intimidated and they're going to lash out.
Right.
But, you know, if you just come across with a loving attitude and, you know, people can't turn down love.
No, they love love. They love love, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, they might, you know, resist it, but they can't, you know, or kind of back away from it a little bit, but they can't turn it down.
Right.
But they don't trust it.
Yeah, because they've been
manipulated. They've been hurt.
And they're wondering what you're up to.
And they wonder what you're up to. How could, you know.
Why are you so happy?
Yeah, what is up with that?
What's going on?
Or why do you love me?
Yeah.
Why do you
love me? What are you trying to get out of me?
What's your motive?
Yeah.
And that's one thing. And another thing, too, people pick up on phoniness.
Don't they? Yeah.
Definitely.
You know, it just, You got to be real. It's got to be sincere.
It's got to be real. It's got to be sincere. This verse in here said, don't snap at each other. Oh. You know, mm-hmm. when you get on each other's nerves, when you do, because you're going to, right? Yes. Don't snap. And I think this is one of the keys, if you're taking notes out there today, one of the ways to handle difficult people is don't do what they expect you to do.
Exactly.
Don't walk right into that trap. When they get on your nerves, don't you snap back when they say something nasty, because that is a lot of times what they want.
Yeah, that's
so true. Don't play into their hand, you know, don't do that. I mean, it says right here, don't do that. Look for the best in them.
Sometimes it's hard to see the best.
Oh, but. Yeah. Yeah, especially when they're hurting you and they're saying nasty stuff right to your face.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, that's...
It's not easy, is it?
No.
But I think...
We're not
talking
that this is easy.
No, it's not easy.
It's not.
Connie hit the nail on the head, though, because if you realize that the majority of the time when people are being difficult, when they're being angry, when they're being hateful or mm-hmm. evil, it's out of fear.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
And see, some people who are not acquainted with God's kind of love, God's love, they are afraid of it.
Oh, yeah.
They are afraid of it.
Well, they wonder what your motive is.
Yes, what's going on here? You know, what's the real you like?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's interesting that the Word of God tells us that once we receive Christ into our life, we are no longer the same, but we become a whole totally new creation.
Amen.
And I think that's a wonderful thing, because if we were dependent on the old creation, you know, our old nature, our old self, then we do snap and we do
right.
do those things.
Yes.
But as we continue to grow up in Christ and begin to put into practice, not because we feel like it.
Right.
But because God said it. The Word says, you know,
right.
don't snap.
And you know, it doesn't mean that we're not going to snap sometimes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, because we're not perfect.
No, we're not.
We don't walk on
yeah.
water.
Mm-hmm. No, we don't.
We haven't perfected that yet.
Right.
Not yet.
All right.
I just want him to ask me to walk. Come to me.
Yeah, right, right.
Come on.
I just read that passage this morning. That was really cool. You know, when Peter said, you know, if you're really Jesus there,
tell me
to come walk on that water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, guys, and Peter, Jesus said, come on.
Yep.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and Peter got out of the boat and he started walking. Then he looked down and he saw the waves. I just read that this morning early in my devotions before church. And he looked down and he saw the waves. And a lot of times we know the right things to do.
That's right.
Okay. We know that we need to learn to communicate better. We know that we need to be honest. We know that we need to say things like, when you said that, I felt this.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to step out in faith and believe that that relationship can improve because we're going to make changes. But
right.
sometimes we get our eyes on, they're always going to be nasty like
waves.
This. On the waves. We
yeah,
do. We get our eyes on that.
And when we take our eyes off of Jesus,
yes.
that's when we sink.
That's
yes.
Always.
That's it.
Always.
Oh my goodness.
But you know what? That,
go ahead.
The thing about that whole scripture that I really like is that at least he got out of the boat.
Yes.
He did get
he
out
did
of the boat.
He didn't sit there. And whine about it. He got out of the boat.
And you know what else I like about that? You know what else I like about that? When he began to sink,
right?
Jesus was right there,
and he lifted him up.
He didn't drown.
So how did that? Does that relate to handling difficult people? Mm-hmm. You got to get out there and try, guys. You got to get out there instead of avoid. You got to get out of the boat, and you got to go to your spouse. And maybe you guys haven't talked for a long time. In one of the first church that I started in Indiana, there was a couple that came to me once for counseling. And if you're listening right now, I hope you're doing better. And I'm just teasing. No, I'm teasing. But they came to me many, many years ago. And they said,
I hope they're doing better now.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's been a long time ago now. And they said, you know what? We have such a bad relationship. We haven't even slept in the same bed for a
That's
long
wrong.
Time. And I said, okay, how long? You know, I'm thinking a month or two. And they go, 17 years.
Oh, my.
Oh,
and
dear.
I just looked at him like, you got to be kidding.
Mm.
And as we began to minister, and it took weeks of really talking and counseling, there was such resentment and bitterness in both of them for offenses that had happened so long ago that it had destroyed the intimacy part of their relationship. They didn't want to touch each other. They didn't want to be in the same room with each other, but they came to church and they looked like the model family, okay? Because they had never learned to communicate, and it took a long time to begin to unravel all that pain. And I would say to you today out there, you can handle difficult people in your life, even if that difficult person is your spouse.
That's right.
Or your mama, or your friend at work, or the person that shares the cubicle with you at work, or whoever that, your boss, whoever it is, your child. You can do this. Get hope.
Yeah.
Well, the fact of the matter is, too, you cannot change the other person.
You cannot.
No.
But you can change yourself.
Amen.
That's what you have dominion over as far as that's concerned. And when we find out when we change ourselves that other people change around us.
That's exactly right.
You know, the other
right.
thing is you got to get out of your comfort zone and meet them where they are.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And, you know.
Takes courage, Connie. That takes courage. I mean, it's not easy to do. It's easier to just go back in your doghouse where you're mad. Just hang out in your doghouse, curl up in your little fetal position, and stay there because that's just a little safer place.
Right. And if, you know, if you can see anywhere near where they're going, if you can get an idea of where they're coming from and where they're going, and you get on their bandwagon and help and praise them and, you know, uplift them
Amen.
For where they're at,
right,
you can help move them along.
Mm-hmm. Look for the best in each other and mm-hmm. always do your best to bring it out. Right. That's the scripture right here.
Right.
So you look for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, everybody likes to be, you know, rewarded or patted on the back or, you know, lifted up.
Right.
And, you know, so if you see that, you know, you have to, sometimes you got to look.
You got to look hard to find it sometimes.
Especially through anger, through hurt.
Yeah.
You know, you're looking through, you know, you're looking at somebody else who's hurt, but you're looking through your stuff, your lenses, your filters, your walls, everything that you've built up. And then to try and see your way clear to see where they're at and find their way, help them find their way.
Sometimes. The Lord reminds me that I have always been as perfect as I am now.
we know you think you are, Nathan. He
no,
thinks
not,
he is.
Not even.
God.
But what I'm saying, here is that
I know you're not.
Each
that.
Person is on a journey.
Amen.
From,
that's right.
From where they start with the Lord,
yes.
to the day of Jesus Christ,
right.
And God has promised mm-hmm. that He will perfect that concerning me, concerning
Amen.
You. He will do it, and He will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so we, you know, when we look at that other person, you know, especially if that person's a brother or sister in Christ,
right.
and they're a difficult person, we can be comforted with the knowledge that God began that work in them, and He will be faithful to complete it.
Right.
And we can rejoice in that fact.
It.
We might not see it. Maybe we will. In the day of Christ, we will see it. But, you know, during the process that they're going through, remember, we've all gone through a process.
Right.
We're all going through growth. And sometimes we have to take a step back and realize that and just allow the love of God to flow through to that person and just say, you know, identify with them. Identify
right.
with the problem. Just, you know, I understand.
I totally agree with that. That's a great point. What does tone of voice have to do
with
tone of voice, inflection.
Tone of voice. How about rolling of the eyes?
Or lifting eyebrows.
Oh, lifting the eyes. I wish I had
nonverbal communication.
Or squinting.
Posture.
Oh, please.
All of it.
We hear so much more by the body language than we do from words. You know?
Yeah. Have you ever been in a fight with somebody you care about and they say, but you just said, and you didn't really just say that, but maybe by the way you said it, they got that from it.
That's what
they
inferred.
That's true.
Body language, raising of the eyebrow, rolling the eyes, going a sigh. Have you ever been one of these?
Oh, the sighers.
I've actually been one of those, so I got to be careful here because I've been working on that. Instead of like going, I know, that's okay. God says be vulnerable.
That's right.
But, you know,
that's right.
That is just ready for a fight. Just open the door for
clicking,
the fight.
Clicking, you know, sucking your teeth.
Oh, okay. Wow. Mm. Are you saying these are things we shouldn't do?
These are things that we should try not to do, yes.
These are things that are only going to make your fight or your discussion worse.
We do not want to add fuel to the fire.
How about somebody who just gets up and walks out of the room and just goes and does something else?
Yeah, some people do that.
But what does that say? You're not important enough. for me to sit here and talk to you about this situation.
I just follow him in the next room.
Persistence in your communication.
I've been known to be a little persistent.
I've been known to corner them.
You know, just give them no place to go.
Right.
And to say, listen, this is what it is.
Right.
And but yeah, it's sometimes though. Sometimes you really do have to just take a step back and give it breathing time. You know, give them a chance to calm down or whatever, or, you know, give the Lord a chance to minister to them, especially if they're a brother or sister in Christ. Because God deals with all of us. He deals with all of us.
Sometimes time really does help.
Yes.
Put some time there and say, let's revisit this tomorrow night at 6. Let's go out to dinner. Let's talk. Sometimes a calm venue like that, going out to dinner where they're not going to have a huge fight, unless you're one of these that throw food when you get mad, then this could be really bad if you're sitting in Applebee's and you're throwing chicken fingers across at your loved one. That is not a good thing. We don't want to be doing that. These are things not to do on how to handle difficult people. Guys, we're saying here, we got to learn to communicate. We got to go to our brother or sister that has hurt us and say, when you said this, I felt this. We have got to learn to trust. And this is hard.
It's very hard.
We're really, when trust is broken, we're going to talk about that next week on the show of what to do in our relationships when trust is broken. How is that possible to rebuild that? Mm. What do we do? And should we rebuild it? Is even a better question sometimes.
Yeah.
So what have you heard here today, Nathan, Connie? What ideas here can we throw out to people who are taking notes right now?
Words can kill you.
Okay.
Yes.
They can kill a relationship.
Yes. They're very
destructive.
Especially
with the toxic mouth.
Right. The toxic mouth. Yes.
Well, that we need to be really try to be patient with each other. You know, and it's I'm responsible for being patient with you.
Right.
That's what it amounts to.
I wish you'd be more patient with me,
patient.
Nathan. I'm glad you brought that up on the air.
We need to keep our eyes on Jesus.
Amen. So that we
can figure out how we're supposed to be.
Yes. Amen. Because that's the key, you know?
Yeah.
And we are going to have difficult people in our lives. That's part of it. But the whole goal, you know, these people in our lives are there for a reason, generally speaking.
They always are.
To allow us to learn how to model the love of God in our lives.
Amen.
That's what it's all about.
Amen.
You know, we all go through difficult tests and trials, don't we?
Yes.
I mean, this is part of life. This is part of the Christian walk.
You were talking about looking for the best in each other. There was a person I used to deal with that always told me to... give my staff an A.
Okay.
Give my people an A before, you know, when give them an A instead of figuring that they've already flunked out or done something wrong.
Right.
You know, give them an A and then let them work.
Right. Yeah.
Either downward
or to the A plus. Yeah. In other words, give them the benefit of the doubt. That's what you're saying.
Right.
You know, we've been talking a lot about the difficult situations in our lives and the trials that just cause us so much pain. You know, a difficult spouse, a divorce, some of us have been divorced, and it's painful things in our lives when we go through this. And I mentioned this last week for the first time. I'm going to bring it up again before we go to a commercial break and then come right back for some final thoughts from the two of you. God has just been pumping books into me in the last few weeks, and it's just incredible, last few months, what God's doing. My first book, the first publication from Beacon of Hope Publishing, is now out and available. You can go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. You can also go to MarciaMcAllister.com. I didn't set that up. Maxine, you did, didn't you? And you're listening to that. But you can go there and you can order a copy of my new book, Lessons from the Fiery Furnace. And this is all about those difficult times in our life, these trials that we go through that help us understand the nature of God. You see, difficult people in our lives are there for a reason, and they help us learn how to model the love of God. You can go and you can order a copy. We are selling them right now for $12 instead of the $12.99 that you can order them on Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble or Borders. We suggest you go to beaconofhopeministries.com and order your copy for $12. We will pay for the shipping and handling. If you're going to order more than three, we'll sell them to you for $11 a copy, three or more. So that's a great thing. Nathan's CD, his praise CD, is out, and it's also on our website. And you can go to our website and order Nathan's CD too. Some of you have said, well, how can I get more involved in this new ministry of Beacon of Hope, with this Living the Good Life? God is wanting us to tell you, and so I'm going to tell you one more time, you can go to our website and become a financial partner and a prayer partner with us in this ministry of 90 minutes on the radio live every Sunday. You can go to our PayPal button and you can donate to this ministry. It's vital that the bills be paid, and God manages to pay them all the time, but we need your financial support. And God's doing some great things here. We'll be right back for some final thoughts.
Do you wonder if the Bible has anything in it that truly matters to your life? Wednesday nights at Beacon of Hope's Compass Group, we experience that God's Word is in real time, answers that help us today. Beacon of Hope is a progressive and affirming church, a community committed to seeing God's plans unfold in our lives. We believe more than ever that it's important for people to come together to look at the relevant, positive, and empowering Word of God. If you want to find out more about your purpose, if you're looking for a positive place to hang out and learn about a brighter future, if you have a desire for experiencing truth and hope in your life, come and join us at Compass every Wednesday night at 7. You can visit us on Sunday mornings, now beginning at 11. Find out more at www.beaconofhopeministries.com. You are welcome in this place.
Praise God. All right. Dance in the river of God's love. Come and join us at Beacon. We have a great time. Nathan and Condi, do we have a great time or what?
A wonderful time.
Absolutely.
Nathan plays such a powerful keyboard, guys. And his voice is incredible. You haven't heard anything until you've heard this. And you need to come live and experience the community of believers at Beacon.
Band.
It's a wild praise band. We got some great stuff going.
Yes, we do.
Cricket and Kristen and Madeline and Michelle
and
Nathan. And oh my gosh, what a gang.
Yeah.
And Condi runs the sound. Final thought today. How do you handle the difficult people in your life, Connie?
I take them to Jesus.
Amen. Prayer. Great. There you go. There you go. Because that is what we're taught to do. Yeah. And then God will teach you how to respond
better.
I think
that if you, I think that he puts those people on your heart and, so you can pray ahead of time and he'll tenderize them.
Oh, okay.
So that they're more willing to learn and listen and hear.
That's good. Good stuff. Nathan.
And I think one of the things is for my life is sometimes when there are difficult people in my life or I have to deal with some difficult people, I look and see what makes me feel that they are so difficult. Mm-hmm. And what is it in me that it's bringing out in me to make me feel that way? And I just ask the Lord to help me with that.
Teach
me
through
that. Because I really, truly want to just be able to love them with God's love. And not, I mean, you don't really hear Jesus saying anyone's difficult. And you know.
Right. You know he had difficult people
to
deal
with. You know he did. And so it's just like, you want to learn to get to that place where no one's too difficult.
Oh, amen.
You. And I wanted to say, too, this, that there's really hope for people that are... I have been there, and I know what it feels like to feel helpless.
Amen.
And hopeless.
Yes.
But as we've been studying today and as we've been sharing today, there is hope for people who feel like they have difficult people in their life that they don't know how to deal with.
Right.
There really is hope, and there really is a way.
We'll talk more about this next week. We're really going to go on and amplify it because this is such a great subject, and we're going to get into trust issues next week. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you have never invited Him into your heart, today is your day. Today, all you do is reach out by faith and you say this, repeat after me, Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now. I come to you by faith in the name of Jesus, and I invite you to come into my heart and live in me. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus died on a cross for my sin and my sicknesses. I receive you now into my heart, Lord, as my personal Savior. I receive you by faith. Come and live on the inside of me. Thank you, Lord, for becoming my Savior, my healer, my Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer with us right now, we invite you to go to beaconofhopeministries.com and send us an email. Somebody asked me the other day, what's your email address? I can never remember it. And I said, well, it's really become much more simple these days. It's pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. Mm-hmm. So you can go there and you can send me an email personally and it will come directly to my desk and I will pray with you and contact you. We invite you to come and be a part of what God is doing at Beacon. You know, it's exciting in these days to know that we do have answers. You know, when life sends us a lot of issues that are difficult, we do have answers, and we have lessons that we can learn through our fiery furnace times. Mm-hmm. And get a copy of my book. It's exciting what God is doing through the ministry at Beacon of Hope. We're excited. Nathan, Connie, anything else? Have you enjoyed being on the show today? Mm-hmm. It's fun, isn't it?
Definitely.
Yeah, it's a great viable ministry.
Right. When you first told us what the topic was going to be, I was thinking, oh dear. But God is so faithful.
It's a good topic. It's a deep topic.
It's a necessary topic.
Yeah.
Those of you out there that don't have a home church, we invite you to get on our beaconofhopeministries.com and find out about Beacon and come and visit and join us. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. With me today, Nathan and Connie. Every week at this time, 4:30 to 6, we're excited about what God is doing in this day and time. Join us next week. Get involved with the work of the Lord. Come and find out what God is doing. Blessings, everyone. See you next week.
Thank you for joining us on Living the Good Life, the broadcast of Beacon of Hope Ministries that welcomes all people, origins, backgrounds, lifestyles, and circumstances. This is conversation radio, all about real life, real truth, and real purpose. Join us again next Sunday evening from 4:30 to 6 as we continue our discussion of more hope for your future. Connect with us at beaconofhopeministries.com, getting you on the road to living the good life.